Hi, it's Mike Morin. Welcome to Reset. 40 is the new happy. We celebrate people who succeed because they believe in themselves. Some change careers, others find new ways to reinvent themselves within their chosen fields. Such is the case with Bedford's Greg LaRocca. At 43, Greg is a scout for the Oryx Buffaloes baseball team in Japan. Now, how he got there is the part that would really inspire anybody who has faced setbacks to not give up, but rather persevere. Greg's stay in the major leagues was short, but he lives every day working as a scout in the world that is his passion, baseball. Although, Greg, I know really your family is your first passion, but your wedding date had to take a back seat to baseball in 2004, right?
Yeah, it did. It was my first time getting a chance to go over to Japan, and they were looking at me the year before, and so it was exciting for me, but then they said, no, we're going to go with Andy Sheets. And so the next year in 2004, I got a call up with the Indians, and then they said, why don't you head over to Japan? So they hooked me up with Alan Nero, who was a longtime agent. I think he was the original agent, and he made it real easy for me to go over there. And said, okay, Alan, first things first is I'm going to get married on January 31st, and then I'll be there on, the 14th, so 2 weeks. And that the 14th is when we start over here. February 14th is when pitchers and catchers start. So figured I'd be early. But they said no. And so it was like an abrupt no. And so they said, change your wedding. And I said, what? So luckily we were having our wedding in Buffalo, and it was 0 degrees. And so everything was up. We had our, the place was open. The band was open. Everything was available.
A week before, right?
A week before. So we went on January 24th, and everything was switched. It was right before all the invitations went out. So we switched it, and everything went smoothly, and went over there, and that was our honeymoon. So we had a seven-year honeymoon in Japan.
Well, it's interesting what you say about Amanda is that she was your good luck charm, because shortly after meeting her, she came to the ballpark and everything, you got called up.
Yep. Yeah. And it was funny because I played, if there's 146 games in AAA, and I played 145 of them. And so the day that I sat, she came to the game, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm sitting on the bench. But my manager, Eric Wedge, was saying, oh, I'll give you the day off. It's a Sunday. It was after, it's day game. And so she went, and then that week I did well, and I hit a couple home runs, and within a couple weeks of meeting her, I got called up to the big leagues, and so she was my good luck charm.
So for those who maybe don't know, you played 39 games in the major leagues over 10 years, had some really productive years in AAA ball in Buffalo, but you decided to play in Japan based on some heartfelt advice from your manager with the Bisons. Was it still a hard decision to make?
Well, yeah. I mean, you really want to play in the majors, is that's what your dream is. But, when you get to the point where, I played in the majors and I did it 3 separate seasons, and I made it each time, and it was all individual, and I was real proud of that I made it, but I wanted to stay, and my 10 years of playing, I'm like, I'm not making any money, it was ridiculous. You get 5 months of pay, and in A-ball, it was $750 a month for 5 months, and then that's it, And then the next year was like $1,000, and you go up to $1,500. And so at the time, I started making, good money. I was making $40,000, which I was like, I can live on this, and you get called up to big leagues and you get that prorated. So, I was making a good living when I got called up. But it still wasn't where I wanted to be. I'm like, I knew that Japan would give me that chance. And I'm like, if I can make some money and have this 10 years pay off, then I'm going to do it. So, I talked with Amanda and she's like, let's do it. Let's do it. And so it was something that we were both excited about. We really took that upon, as not just a baseball experience, but a cultural experience. And
So, you have a career year right off the bat. And did you ask yourself, gee, why didn't I do this sooner?
Well, I started to really put things together towards the end of my career. So, I had a great year in Buffalo, but I didn't play a whole season because I got hurt. I missed a month. And then I came back. I went to Double A, and I really started hitting well, just like I did in 2000 when I got called up, and then they called me up to AAA, and I did well enough to get called up there. Then I went to winter ball, and so, you know, I had like close to 30 home runs in 400 at bats, and so I was that was really something that I was like, I figured it out, you know. And then the next year I broke my hip, and so I just lost everything, and that was when I talked to Rocco, and I was like, you know what, I'm a Rock, I can't do this anymore, I quit. And what I was doing is I was a fast, speedy guy. I was a middle infielder, and you know, so I stole. I had the green light to steal. So I stole, and we were in Scranton, and they had the worst turf. It was like the vet. It was like the old Phillies play. Oh, and I took off running, and a line drive was hit, and I stopped, and I felt a pop in my hip, and then I was like, and then I kept going. So it was a base hit. So I kept going to third, and then I was like, oh my gosh, and you know, Wedgie was like, hey, you okay? You know, Eric Wedge, the manager, and he's like, yeah. I was like, yeah, I'm okay. And then the next day he gave me a day off, and I had to coach first. And they had to stop the game. Like, I'd get up, you know, right when they throw the ball down to second base, I started getting up out of the dugout, and I couldn't get to the plate. They had to like pause. So I'm like, as soon as they threw the ball out the next inning, I had to start walking because it was so much pain. So that year I was taking like 20 Advil, and I lost, you know, I lost probably 15 pounds, so I was under 180 since that was like college when I was that thin. And so I really wanted to quit, and I said, you know what, I can't do this anymore. And Rocco didn't let me. So he was like, no, you're not going to quit. You're not going to quit. Suck it up.
So with the injuries, and you did well for a while in Japan, and then that came to an end from a playing point of view. What is it about your personality that you've been able to cope with the, I'm sure, the disappointment of the major league situation and the injuries that kind of sped up your end of your playing days? How have you been able to cope with all that and find success at the other end of the game?
Well, I mean, I felt like the injuries were always something that was, you know, I was playing at 100%. So when you play as hard as I did, you know, you're bound to get hurt because I was just pushing myself to the limit. So I'd always, you know, I couldn't play at 80%, that's kind of the game. The guys that are bigger and stronger, they don't have to put as much effort in. And a lot of the guys that were bigger, faster, stronger than me were like, hey, you're making us look bad, you know? And so I took pride in that because I'm like, yeah, I'm like, I will. And that's kind of how I made it. So, you know, getting hurt, and I got hurt while I was in Japan, but it wasn't, you know, I got hit with a ball, broke my hand, you know, on turf again, I tore my knee and on the bad turf, and then they switched it after that. But you know, it was injuries that I knew I could come back from. It wasn't a career ending injury, and it was something that, you know, I just was always a hard worker, and you know, and I'm like, this isn't going to keep me from what I love to do. And so now I look at where I went and what I did and all the things that I overcame, and I look at some players that are kind of the tweeners like I was. You know, I was like a 4A player, not better than AAA and not good enough to stick in the big leagues. And those are the guys that I feel like I can give you a new life. I can extend your career. And so I really, you know, now I'm talking to the guys because I know what it's like. They're like, oh, my career's over, you know, and you go talk with them, and I get a feel for how they're going to adjust. And, you know, I kind of talk to them and say, this is an opportunity, you know, would you want to take it? And so a lot of the guys are, you know, I can tell that the guys are into it, and I can tell the guys that are like, I'm sticking here, I'm going to still play, you know. And then a year later, they call me up and they're like, hey, is that still open? You know, right. Because it's an opportunity to extend your career when it comes to an end here.
So we get a bit of a clue about you as a person. I read where you were the first foreign player to donate to local charities, as well as Amanda finding joy in community work in Japan. Why was that so important to you? Because you mentioned the cultural thing earlier.
You know what? It was, I mean, that was really my wife. So she was really into, you know, she's special ed, so she found the angelfish over there, and that was Down syndrome and you know, all of the stuff that she was into here, and she really liked. And so she couldn't speak the language, but she went and she had a connection with them right away. So when we talked about it, and I said, hey, well, why don't we do something like this? And so, you know, with her kind of leading the charge, you know, I was like, yeah, I want to be a part of that. And so it was a really good thing. And Hiroshima is a really small town, and the people were so giving. And so when they're giving, you know, we tried to give back. And so it was a really great experience there for our first time. And one of the things that they did, which they never did. So basically when I went to another team, the team didn't sign me back. So I had a 2-year deal. I broke my thumb and missed the second half of my second year. Then they said, we're not going to sign you back. And so I went to the Swallows. And when I came back to the Swallows, the outfield, you know, they always cheer, and they cheered my name. And it was like, it was dead silent because they have a cheering thing. And so they cheered my name, you know, when I was up to bat, and I kind of had to step out. I was like, holy cow, you know, because I really felt a big connection with Hiroshima because of everything with my wife and you know, how we got along with everybody. And I felt like I was a fan favorite, and that was really special for me.
So there is a lot of joy in baseball, and you really were surprised, weren't you, when the Buffalo Hall of Fame, Baseball Hall of Fame, came to you and said, you're in.
Yes, that I didn't even know I could possibly – I didn't know they had one. You know, but it was – I didn't even know I was available to be up for that. And so, you know, that really – it kind of helps you look back and you know, I put a lot of hard work into baseball. And to be rewarded like that was really something special. It you know, kind of got me emotional, you know. And so when my dad was like, I want to go and I'm proud of you and – and it made me feel, you know, like all the time that I put into baseball was giving back to me. And that was a really great feeling to be a part of.
You're involved with the finding young baseball talents so that they can be groomed for top-level play. Do you feel this is where you are ultimately meant to be eventually?
Yeah, you know what? Because I went to Major League Scout School this year. And I really didn't know what I was doing, but I felt like I had an idea. You know, I had 17 years experience, and I know that's worth something, you know, to play. But going there, you know, I talked, and there's about half the people that are players, ex-players, and about half from the front office that come down to learn the scouting part to make their job better. So when they go be the general manager or somebody, they understand the scouting part, and they have a full understanding of it. But when I talked to all the scouts that had been doing this for 30, 40 years, you know, we all talked about the intangibles. And so the intangibles are, you know, who you are as a person. And I believe that, you know, who you are as a person can make a good player better. You know, it can also make a great player worse. And so that's what you really see in Japan, because it is not just a baseball. It's not the same baseball. So the guys go over. And as soon as they hit a fastball, guess what? You're not going to see a fastball. They're going to say, oh, well, here, hit this. And they're not going to come back to the fastball. And so the players that go over there have to learn to adjust. And the guys that will make those adjustments can play over there. And that's kind of in the intangibles. Like, you see that with their play, with how they handle themselves, and they take practice over there very seriously. So I go to before the games and watch these guys when they don't know anybody's there, and I see how they're practicing. Are they having a good time? How's their rapport with other players? You know, and then I go up to the other players. I'm like, hey, how's so-and-so? You know, how's so-and-so? How's this? How's this? How's he with umpires? You know, because over there, if you argue with the umpire, they're going to bury you. And so those things are you can't quantify that. But talking to all the scouts, they're like, that is one of the most important things, because you can draw on all your experiences and take a player that's, you know, above average and make him, you know, he could be a superstar. Those are the guys that are, you know, their desire to play, their heart, their all the things that you can't write down on paper makes them who they are.
So most of your scouting will be done in Japan?
No, I'm looking at players here in AAA and the guys that are on the bench in the big leagues. You know, okay. So the guys,
you, in other words,
yeah, guys just like me. Yeah, so it's you know, and basically, I go over to Japan. Like, I'll go over with the new players and I'll kind of be the liaison. So I'll run around with them for 2 weeks and go to practices, and, you know, we'll take them out. I'm like, hey, what is this? I'm like, this is some of the things you have to do, and this you don't have to do. I'm like, this is good. You know, don't do that. And kind of give them, when I was there my first year, we had Eric Schulstrom, he was a scout that drafted me, and he was out there for a couple of weeks doing that. And so, you know, the team said, well, why don't you do that for us? And I was like, yeah, that's good. So I'm out there for 2 weeks in spring training, And it's rough, but that's the only time I spend. Actually, maybe once in the middle of the year, I go out and I scout. I go around to Japan and scout, and we're going to go to Korea this year. So, but they had that MERS virus, so we ended up shutting it down. Yeah, they said, we're not going to, if we get it and bring it back, then that's bad. So maybe next year I'll go out maybe in June and, for a week or so and scout there but it's mostly done the scouting here in the U.S.
Got it. Finally, Greg, as our parting question, you can be the life coach now for a moment and offer advice about playing the hand that you're dealt, maybe even calling it a blessing.
Yeah, you know what? It is something that you have to really, really look deep into yourself, and you got to say, you know what? This is what it is, and there's no reason to look at yourself and be unhappy with the things, your cards that you're dealt. It's like, this is my hand. I got to play them, and so you find ways when you look at and you bear down. You don't quit. You keep moving forward each day, and it's not always instant gratification. And it takes a long time for things to happen. But if you're moving forward and you're constantly taking steps in the right direction, someday you're going to get there.
Great advice and terrific inspiration from Greg LaRocca. By the way, I love your email address, Rockefeller. Very cool.
Thanks.